You're listening to Man Meat Barbecue, the podcast, with your host, Mikey K. Our sponsors are ManBQ and Myron Mix and Smokers. If you don't know who ManBQ is, you better check it out. They are one of the coolest things to barbecue around. We do a meetup on the last Thursday of every single month. Let us take over your backyard. Let's see how much fun we can have. Looking for a new cooker? Look no further than the American-made Myron Mix and Smokers. Maybe you're a backyard enthusiast. Maybe you're a restaurant owner. Maybe you're looking to get into the catering game. They can accommodate it all. So make sure you go over to MyronMixAndSmokers.com and check out your next rig. And when you email them, tell them Mikey from Man Meat Barbecue sent you. So let's not waste any more time and let's get into this fucking podcast. What's up, guys? We are hanging out with Pigs on Barbecue. Richard, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, hanging out with us, and, you know, giving us some of your time. Now, you got some beautiful pictures, you got some beautiful cookers. Let's start with kind of just tell us a little bit about you. What made you start cooking barbecue? How did this all crazy thing start?
Well, I'm going to say I grew up as a big family, 7 kids in it. My dad grilled some when we were younger, but not a ton, and when I look back now, you know, probably not the best barbecue in the world, but I love barbecue chicken. Love barbecue chicken to this day because of what that man used to do when we were young. But during the 90s, I worked for a commercial poultry company, and I worked with a group of guys that they could cook. And they could cook chicken, they could grill chicken really well. And it kind of, one of those things that kind of hit me. It was like, wow, I like what these guys are doing. We fried turkeys all the time, started grilling, and it kind of got me kind of the spark. You know, you're in your mid-20s, still trying to figure out life and go, yeah, this is something I can do. I like doing this. And I've cooked all my life, just, you know, whether it's just at the house or had some part-time jobs through college, high school, as like a cook in, you know, fast food restaurant type places. And just kind of, you know, those guys kind of spurred me on and left working there. And it was like, you know, I keep on grilling, keep on cooking, and you know, just kept growing over the years, and, you know, 50 years old now. So, you know, spent the last 25 years trying to figure out what I'm doing.
I mean, obviously you've had a great journey, and you're putting out some beautiful food. Now,
I appreciate that.
When did you start cooking on the egg?
So I guess it's been 4 years ago. I won the egg through a contest that McCormick's had, Grillmates had on their Facebook site.
Okay.
It was a photo contest, and I won the big green egg through that, an extra large, and been using it ever since.
Yeah. Well, before that, I was fair.
Oh, no. I feel like I was one of the right. There was two of us that won it, and I feel like I was one of the right people.
Yeah, because no, I know
it's gotten its workout. It's you know, if I would have paid for it, I've paid for it if I had to pay cash for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful cooker. Now, you got a couple different cookers. If you can let it go through that, what kind of cookers are you using besides that egg?
So I've got the egg. I've got a couple Weber kettles, a couple of the smaller Webers. I had a big drum smoker, ugly drum smoker, and I went about 3 years where I didn't touch it because I had the big green egg, and so I just recently got rid of that. Just gave it away, and I'm hoping somebody's giving it some good use.
Yes.
And then I've got a BQ Grills pig cooker.
Okay.
That I use for doing whole hogs with.
Yeah, I mean, you are, if I'm not wrong, you are in North Carolina, correct? Or you are in one of the Carolinas?
I'm actually in Michigan.
Oh, you're in Michigan. My bad.
No, good. That's all right.
I'm really good like that.
I get that a lot. I'm from North Carolina. Well, like I grew up as I was an Army brat. My dad retired when I was about 12, and we moved to North Carolina, where he was originally from. And so I lived there until about 8 years ago. My real job relocated me to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So I moved up here to Michigan and said, you know, what can I do? I'd started doing some barbecue competitions, the whole hog competitions in East North Carolina, and moved up here, brought my cooker with me, and trying to figure out what I do with this pig cooker now that I'm in Michigan. So I do a little bit of on the side catering, just kind of a hobby kind of thing with, or mostly friends and coworkers that, hey, we got a graduation, we got whatever coming up, and so I'll cook anywhere between 3 and 10 pigs a year with this cooker. It's a beautiful cooker. I bought it about 4 years ago, and it's like one of the most amazing things I've ever used for cooking a pig.
Yeah, I mean, that is a – it's a beautiful cooker. It is a very, very pretty cooker. And the whole hog cooker, it's a little bit – for anyone who's never cooked on one, a North Carolina whole hog cooker, it's a little bit different of a cooker. It's not your traditional – it's not your traditional stick burner in that sense. It, you know, you lay that hog completely flat, so you butterfly it really, really nicely, and it just lays nice and flat in there. And now, do you flip your hog?
I don't.
Okay. Some people do, some people don't. That's why I'm asking.
Yep. And I would if I could, but I don't have the – my cooker is a smaller – one of their smaller versions. And so it doesn't – a flipper doesn't fit in it well. It would be scraping at the bottom when you try to flip it.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
But then also I'm a one-man show, so it's kind of hard to flip a 125-pound pig by yourself.
Come on. What are you talking about?
I've got it down to get it on there, but, you know, once it's all hot and
what are you
been cooking for – yeah. 5 or 6 hours to grab a hold of that hot pig by yourself is a little much.
No. You just bear hug it. No, I know exactly what you're saying, man. No. I totally get you. No. The burns are real.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But no, I love the butterfly and the way they're butterflied. That's one of the things I've struggled here with Michigan is most people don't
supplier.
When they do hogs. Say that again.
I said getting a good supplier, basically.
A good supplier was hard because, there's in North Carolina where I was from, there was a place 6 miles away that I could drive to and get a pig any day that I want one. That was perfect. Around here, I'm looking at people and there's not a lot of them that are capable of scalding them and getting all the hair off of them. So they do a lot of pigs without the skin on them. And I'm not interested in that. So I've searched around and finally found somebody that can get me a good quality pig, and so found that supplier, and I've been using him now for about 5 or 6 years, and it's been a pretty awesome guy.
Now, how much time do you have to give him?
He likes 2 weeks, but I know he places his order on Monday, and he gets his meat in on Wednesday, so if I can tell him I need one on Friday before Monday morning, typically the Friday before, I can have a following week. So 1 to 2 weeks is happiness.
Okay. That was going to be my question, because I know, like, it's one of those things where, you know, you got to make sure you get that order in before he gets his order in. Because once he puts that in, once he places, I mean, you're pretty much not – I don't want to say screwed, but you're kind of screwed, right?
Yep.
I mean –
yeah, you're pretty much locked in. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of places I can go to. I know some other people that could get me a pig today if I need one, but it's not going to be the pig that I'm after.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's not going to be that exact pig that you like to cook. And it obviously it's not the exact – they don't manufacture the pigs in that sense. But we all know that the quality that certain farms will put out and make sure that we enjoy that quality and make sure that we're putting out a product that we're happy with.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, with the pigs, with the, you know, the skin on them, that's a big part of it is you want to get that skin all crispy and crackling and ready to go. And when you flip it over and you look at it and it's got, didn't quite get the hair off of that like you should. Nobody wants that.
Exactly.
So that's not a good thing to deal with.
And that's kind of why I asked, that's kind of why I asked the, are you flipping it? I know a lot of guys like to flip it because then they'll get that little bit more, the crackling gets a little bit better. They get.
And I'm doing it skid side down, but that lets you get a little more of the fat render out a little better. And so I am cooking it skin side down, and it's hard. You know, it's a. I've seen guys at competitions and stuff, and it's just their skin's perfect. And I look at that going, one day I'll be there. And I've cooked some pigs, and you know, you get about 2/3 of it go, wow, I did something this time. That was pretty nice. I'm not sure how I did it. And so I've got that's one of those things I still have to work on. But you know, you get to cook 3, 5, 6, 10 pigs a year. you know, you get a chance to play with it and do it. The hard part is I'm doing it for somebody else. So there's not just a chance to go play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you start doing it for others, you kind of have to do some, you know,
the skin is good, but it's not, I better get the pig cooked and I better get the pig right. And the skin becomes extra.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really want to make sure that you have a good one, especially when you're cooking it for somebody else.
Yep.
You're like, I want to make sure that this is good and you know, everything's good. Now, my next question to you is when did you start cooking pigs? And from going from cooking regular barbecue to cooking whole hog, what was your biggest struggle?
So I, off and on, me and my brothers and some with my dad and my uncles had cooked a few pigs over the years. I look back now, the first one I did in a competition was in 2008. And that was the first pig I ever cooked on my cooker. So I had not this cooker, but I had an oil drum cooker that I bought that, you know, was a homemade, I didn't make it, but one that was homemade and, used it in a competition was the, you know, the first time I ever cooked on it was kind of like, let's go. I look back at that pig and go, wow, that was pretty bad. and I look back at the ones that we cooked, you know, before going, okay, well, we got them cooked, but yeah, that's not anything close to what I'm doing now. And it's really neat to see that. Every now and then I'll go back and look at pictures of stuff that I did, you know, 10 years ago and like, wow, yeah, it's not quite it, but we were pretty happy with it. But to go to, you know, back then I was frying a lot of turkeys. I was cooking on a Weber kettle grill, doing those kind of things. Wasn't smoking a whole lot of stuff. So I wasn't doing like pork butts, you know, every now and then do one, but not anything very often. And it was kind of like the whole hog was kind of the thing that, you know, I want to learn how to do this and I want to do it. And me and my brothers got together and said, hey, let's start a team. And so we did. And, went to our first cook-off and we finished in fourth place out of 12. So it was a pretty small cook-off.
So you didn't finish last. That's fantastic.
No, we were 4 out of 12. We felt really good. And then we went to another cook-off a few months later, or actually it was like in the fall. Then we went into spring into one and, it was, I think, 47 teams, and we finished 42nd. It's like, all right, now we know where we're at. That's probably more what we expected the first time, but that gave us the opportunity to learn a lot. And that was the one cook-off. It takes place in Kinston, North Carolina, every year. Okay. I did it in 2008, 2009, sold my house on my way to the cook-off in 2010. And moved to Michigan a month later, and then went back every year up until 3 years ago, and just participated in that cook-off. Planning on going back next year. It's been 3 years since I've been there, but I miss it. I enjoy going out there, meeting, you know, all the different cooks, and, you know, standing around talking all night, enjoying the company, and meeting up with my brothers, and just hanging out for the night. You know, it's a good long weekend. It's a nice drive to North Carolina to get there. And then you spend the weekend and drive back on Monday.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's a good barbecue filled weekend.
It is. You know, and then, like I said, I have a good time with it. Enjoy doing it. It's, you know, the pig is my favorite thing to cook. If, you know, any day anybody says, hey, cook a pig, let's go. I'm on it. I love doing it. It's one of those things that I get pretty excited about doing, and makes me happy. And I know it doesn't make everybody happy, but it's just like, yeah, here we go.
Hey, cook a pig. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Let's do that. Let's do that now.
It's fun.
That is fantastic. And I know so many people love whole hog cooking, but they don't always have the ability or the know-how to cook a whole hog. So if you can give, like, maybe we could talk about, I want to talk a little bit more about whole hog cooking. And if you don't mind that, I'd love to keep going with it. What are some tips and tricks that you've learned along the years of cooking a whole hog? Now, one of the hard part is finishing all the meats at the same time. And when I mean all the meats, they're like, well, there's only one piece of meat. It's a whole hog. Yes, but the shoulder cooks differently than the hams cook. And the loin, the tenderloin, cooks way differently than everything else. So what do you do that's special to make sure that you don't overcook something?
You know, I don't burn it up. Keeping the temperature where it should be. You know, it's a big hunk of meat, and I try to keep everything simple. You know, it's not a struggle. You know, this cooker I'm using has got baffles in it to keep the flames away from the pig and the meat itself, or a shield, whatever you want to call it, to keep flames from direct. So it's got it's indirect heat coming to the pig itself. It's a really good cooker, and it's, you know, you get it going, you get it right, and it holds on and it stays there for the night. I don't do anything real different for the different areas of the pig. And I think that's one of the glorious things about doing the whole pig in, you know, North Carolina style, where you tend to Eastern North Carolina, you pull it, you chop it. That's one of the things that helps forgive you a little bit too, is if your loin gets a little bit dried out, that's okay. Chop that up, mix it in with that meat from the shoulders and the hams, and you're going to get your everything balanced out pretty well. Whereas, you know, if you just go cook a bunch of loins, it's pretty easy to dry out a loin and have nothing that nobody's happy with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can forgive it. You can forgive yourself, or people can forgive you if it's a little dry when you mix it up with everything else. So that's one of the things that
it almost redistributes too.
Yep. Yep.
A little bit.
But I don't do anything different with it. It's, you know, it's popped out there. You know, it's laid out on its back and just letting her go. You know, nice. And I keep it all simple. I season it with salt and I throw it on there.
So you just go salt. You're a straight salt guy.
Just nothing but salt. Nothing else. And part of that I learned, you know, with competitions in North Carolina, yeah, most of those are done for charity type events, and so they're giving you the pig to cook for the competition, and you cook it, and then they take all the meat when you're finished, and they tend to season that. They season it with the sauce for all the plates they're selling. You know, it's usually a charity event or a fundraiser for whatever. So they'll, if my sauce is really bad, well, I just messed up a pig. So don't season it, don't sauce it. We'll sauce it at the end. When they judge them, you have to provide your sauce with it, and they'll taste it with sauce, but they don't want it on the pig. And so I've kind of got used to that. Moved up here to Michigan, you know, that vinegar style sauce is not very prominent in Michigan.
I was going to say, that's not a very common sauce. Vinegar-based sauces are not everyone likes them. You people in Carolina are a little weird.
Yeah, that's all right, though. We'll stay that way.
We'll keep it. We'll hold it. We'll hold our own. No, vinegar-based sauces are great. Not everyone likes them. You know, some people don't. When I do a vinegar-based sauce, I prefer to use apple cider vinegar than white vinegar. I know some people like the white vinegar.
Yep.
But I think it gives it a little bit sweeter of a hit, so it's not quite
a shock.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not like, boom, vinegar. Holy shit. Yep.
There it is. What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Why did you give me that? But, you know, I got some friends that I've met up here through a Facebook group that I'm on, the Winter Grillers, and we got together a couple years ago in February and grilled when it was, I don't know, it was cold and snowy. And
love those cooks.
One of the guys, I brought some barbecue sauce, Scott's barbecue sauce from made in Goldsboro, North Carolina, which was my hometown. And it's one of the oldest barbecue sauces made. It's really strong. It's vinegar. And I brought a bottle of that and handed it out. And the guy pulled out some shot glasses and said, oh, we all have to have a shot. And it started a tradition for me. Every time I cook a pig, every time I make a batch of sauce, you got to take a shot of it. Oh. And I try to encourage people that. They go, you know, hey, I want the hottest you have. And it's like, well, you can't have that unless you take a shot of it first. And then you can put it on your pork.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I don't know if I want the lettuce you got. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I'm ready.
No, and I don't go too hot with it. You know, mostly I'm doing this for, you know, crowds of family. So, you know, you got anything from a 5-year-old to, you know, the 90-year-old grandmother. So you want to be careful with what you're throwing out there at people.
But, oh yeah, absolutely.
There's always a bottle hidden under the table to go, okay, yeah, you can have this.
There's always the one guy that's like, I'll do it.
Absolutely.
And then you're like, no, don't, please, okay.
Yep.
Go for it. And you like let him do it, and then you're just like, I feel so bad right now.
At least so good.
I always feel so bad. Like if I make something super hot and I'm like, here, try this, and someone's like, right. Oh yeah, and they try it, I'm like, ooh, how was that? And they're like, well, and I'm like, yeah, sorry.
I'll always make three different sauces when I do my pigs, and I'll do an Eastern North Carolina style, a Western North Carolina style, and then my original, which is like a halfway in between.
Okay.
And my yeast is typically the strongest and the most hot, and I use the white vinegar in that. And I always have to remember, taste that one last, because it's the one that just throws everything else off. It doesn't matter what the other two taste like.
I was going to say, it just eats those taste buds?
Absolutely. Start with the West and go East.
So now, you mentioned something that was quite interesting in that little conversation that we just had. You said, you know, you got a couple guys up there that do some winter grilling. Obviously, it's cold up in Michigan where you've moved to. Now,
Absolutely. Besides
the egg is insulated, and it's when I say it's insulated, it is a Kamado style cooker. It is ceramic. It holds heat really, really well. It's not insulated in the sense that it's double walled like the Kamado is.
Right.
But the insulation is still there. Or not the insulation, but the heat retention is very right. much there. Now, my question for you is, what were some of the biggest struggles in learning how to
dealing
cook?
With the cold? Is
yeah, because it's a different type of cooking.
You know, I try not to do it very differently. I try to keep it very similar to what I'm doing any other time. Other than I might not go sit outside and smoke a cigar while I'm grilling something. I'm going to go in and out of the house real quickly.
Why not?
Go outside, do what you have to do, get back in the house. But I built me a little area this summer outside that's got some canopies on it and put a little fence around it. So I'm hoping it's going to be a little less wintry. This winter as I'm cooking, trying to figure out how to see how that'll work this year. You know, I've been grilling just out on my deck, out in the wide open, and you know, you shovel the snow out of the way, fire up the coals, and throw whatever on there, and yeah, just make it happen. It doesn't seem to. Well, I've seen some impact, but typically, unless the wind's really, really bad. Even on my Weber kettles, things seem to cook pretty well. Yeah, you might open it up a little more to, you know, make sure you get enough oxygen in there to keep the heat going, or get the coals a little hotter to start with, because every time you open it up, you're going to lose a lot quicker. But
yeah,
generally, I try to.
You are going to lose a lot quicker. you open it up, that heat's pretty much gone. There's no no real heat retention.
No, but it's you know, you tend to either smoking something, or if you're just grilling where you're doing something hot and fast, you know, getting it on there, get the lid back on, set your timer for 2 minutes, step back in the house for a few minutes, and if you need to be back out there, get out there, and you know, keep your pair of shoes by the door and close the door to keep the family happy.
You know what the crazy thing, the crazy thing about like winter grilling and when it's really, really cold and you really need to get out there is getting those feet cold. I know that sounds weird. That's like my biggest struggle with winter cooking. And everyone's like, well, no, there's other struggles. No, there's really not. When your feet get fucking freezing, there's no other struggle in life. Like, I can't warm my body up. Like, that's just, you know what I mean? Like, that's my biggest struggle. And people are like, that's your biggest struggle. Yeah. Yeah, that's my biggest struggle. I know it sounds rough, but that's my biggest struggle.
I would say mine is you know, put on a hat, put on a long sleeve shirt, and I don't have any hair, so I need something to help keep that heat on the top side instead of the bottom side. So, I'm getting out there, getting in, you know, keeping my hands warm is probably the biggest thing. You know, I mentioned smoking cigars. When I first moved here, I used to smoke a lot of cigars, and I figured out pretty quickly that it's cold. You can't sit outside with your hands exposed while you're doing a cigar. So, yeah, don't do that. So figure out how to stay in the house.
It is. It's a little bit struggle. It's a little bit. Yeah. When we smoke cigars, you got to really love that cigar. It's going to be a really good cigar.
Absolutely. But I love the cold weather, being out there in it. And, you put on a jacket. You get out there and do it. You got to wear your one glove on your one hand, hold your beer so that your beer doesn't get warm. You want to make sure your hand's insulated. And then you keep that other hand free to make sure you can do what you got to do.
Yep. But winter grilling, man, it is a whole different game. And I love every minute of it. I don't know what it is, but like, I just really like cooking in cold weather.
Yep. Oh yeah. It's, I love it. I'd say, I don't even know what to say. It's just the thrill of getting out there. You know, you get outside and you go, hey, the wind chill today is minus 30. I wonder what I can cook.
Yeah. And like, so when we we've moved out of the city, guys, people that follow this podcast know I used to live inside the city limits of Chicago. The wife wanted a yard. Yards are expensive in Chicago, so we moved. it's just how it works. But so we moved outside the city. Well, when I lived in the city, our cooker was in our front yard.
Right.
So you can imagine the people that were like trying to they're just running to get back to their house. And they're like, what are you doing and why? Like, or if they'd be walking their dog really fast, they'd be like, really, really? You've decided to do that? And it's like, yeah, why?
Like, is that wrong? It's wonderful.
Like, we did ribs in a blizzard once.
Yep.
That was fantastic.
I haven't done a whole hog in the middle of winter yet, but.
That's
something I want to.
How do you think it'll hold up?
I didn't hear you. Could you ask me that again?
I sure can. How do you think the Carolina cooker will hold up against that bitter cold?
Well, I'm saying I haven't cooked a pig out in the bitter cold yet. I keep looking at that. I've had some people say, hey, can you do a Christmas party for me? And it's like, I'm not quite sure. The winter here, we're pretty much parallel. I'm right near Kalamazoo, Michigan, so we're like halfway between Chicago and Detroit.
Okay.
So southwest Michigan. December might be pretty decent. It might be pretty cold. And so I've, being a one-man show, kind of a hobby kind of thing, I've not taken the risk to commit to anybody that I could do their Christmas party for in December because, what happens if we get 12 inches of snow, 14 inches of snow? I can't get to you. I'm not equipped to do that. I haven't done the wintertime pig yet. The wintertime pig will come one day. It just hasn't made it yet.
Now, what do you think will be the struggles? Do you think the cooker will struggle? Will you're going to obviously go through more fuel. That's just kind of a given.
Yeah, I think it'll hold pretty well. I was, the last cook I did, just horrible rainstorms, and a lot of people are worried about rain and how much that's going to cool things off. And you see things pop up. Once you can get your temperature there, leave it closed. It holds. It seems to hold pretty well. And rainstorm came through pretty bad. We had the temperature outside dropped about 20 degrees, and I watched my cooker drop about 10 degrees, and then it slowly creaked back up temperature wise where it was beforehand, and held steady the rest of the that morning until it was time to go serve the pig. So I, it seems to hold pretty well. I've, like I said, I haven't been out in the cold, cold winter to try it out yet, but, even with rainstorms and stuff like that, where, you know, all that water's hitting it pretty hard, it's not affecting it as much as it could.
Yeah, I can understand that. And that is definitely a, water cools shit down very, very quickly.
Yep.
And rainwater tends to be cold. So yep. if it comes down in like a monsoon type rain, which you guys kind of get pretty much, we get it, and then you guys get it like either a day later or a couple hours later.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, it just depends.
But you're making me want to do a pig sometime this winter.
I think we need to. I really think you do. I mean, shit. It sounds like a fantastic idea. I am the worst person at putting bad ideas into people's minds. You know, they're like,
no, I don't think it would be a bad idea.
They're like, this sounds like a horrible idea. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. We did a,
like I said, it's,
I was going to say, we did a winter barbecue cookout one day at a Big Green Egg dealer. And I'm like, we're going to call it the Polar Barbecue. And, you know, we were looking at the temps that we were getting that day, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It ended up being like 4 degrees with a wind chill of like -20.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, well, at least it's the Polar Barbecue.
Yep. Well, that's, you know, when me and the other guys in the winter grilling group got together, we were up in Big Rapids, Michigan. So, you know, 2 hours north of here, maybe 3 hours north of where I'm at now.
Which changed,
it was cold.
Dramatically.
It was snowing, and it was a struggle getting there. And we got there, and we cooked on, you know, just Weber grills, and, you know, I don't even know what the other one was. One little smoker with a little side box on the side of it, whether it was a char grill or whatever it was, just a cheap little regular old smoker, and, you know, backyard grill. And we cooked. You know, we got there, and we were cooking. When I got there, the guy's house was already grilling, and me, him, and the other folks, we grilled to 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and just everybody took their turn. You grill something, and now I'm going to grill something, and we'll eat. And then we all went to bed. You know, we got up in the morning. It's like, well, should we eat anything else, or should we just, you know, call it a day? So we just stopped eating, you know, 3 hours ago. Should we start it back up again? And I think I smoked some bacon that morning, and off we went.
Yeah, I mean,
but really fun. Yeah, really fun out there in the snow, and just to be out there hanging out, and, you know, gives you something else to talk about, and something else to just kind of hang out, and yeah, it's good bonding time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Me and a buddy of mine decided that we should smoke a brisket for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
This was a couple years ago, and we're like, okay, cool. So we went and bought a really nice brisket. And we're like, cool, we got a beautiful brisket. We'll trim her up. We'll throw her on. This is pre either one. He now has a Big Green Egg. Also, we both were Weber guys. We were both cooking on Webers. And he's like, well, I brought my Weber over so that we could cook for more. And he had his Weber there. And so we have his 22-inch kettle, and we're like, okay, we're going to put the brisket on that 22-inch kettle.
Absolutely.
It is literally the coldest day of the year. It snowed like a foot, and I think it was like almost like 16 or 17 inches of snow that we got that day. And we decided, as the smart humans that we were, here's what we're going to do. We're going to smoke this brisket, but we're also going to start drinking at the beginning of it.
You count how many hours by how many beers you drink.
Yeah. We decided hard liquor was a good idea.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Let me tell you, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Just
nope.
not a smart idea.
I'll say, yeah, you get people listening to this going, why would you want to grill during the wintertime like that and live where you're living and do that? But when you, it's fun, but then you also, when you look at the, during the fall or during the summertime here, you know, you get these, you know, 70 degree days and you're not dealing with 105 like in North Carolina. You go, yeah, this is really nice. I'll pay for it in the wintertime, but it's good.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It also makes, you know, you're grilling during the summer. It makes it that much easier. You know,
yep.
It gives you the opportunity to learn a lot, see a lot, and be able to, you know, it makes it that much easier during the summertime. You know, here we go. The weather's nice. What am I going to do? Oh, I can grill. I can do that when the weather's bad. Why don't I do it when the weather's really nice? So.
Yeah, I mean, I like cooking when the weather's bad. I don't know what it is. I think I'm just deranged.
Well, I'm going to say the snow is 100% better than the rain. And I'll take a snowy day over a rainy day anytime.
I will agree with you on that. I will take a snowy day before I take a rainy day. Yep. I much, much rather take that snow. Because the snow hits me and it just kind of, yeah, it kind of sticks to you and it, you get a little wet. But when it is pouring down rain, man, it's just not a good day. Like, it's not fun. Like, it's still fun, but I just don't like it quite as much. I'd rather be in the snow.
And you mentioned earlier about, you know, pictures that I take and stuff. That picture you take in the snow of that, whether it's a pork butt, a brisket, chicken wings with that snow in the background, it's such a beautiful picture compared to rain.
It is. You are completely true.
So much more drama.
Right? You're like, because then you like take that picture and you like send it, you know, you send it out into the world and people are like, oh, this guy's a little crazy.
No, he's stupid. What is he doing?
Yeah.
But
at the same time, you know, you're like, no, dude, it's a good cook.
Absolutely. No, that's, like I said, you know, snow shovel and having everything ready and you're good. You know, the snow coming down doesn't make your camera all wet. And every now and then you get them big, beautiful snowflakes falling into the grill and just perfect.
You know, I have a couple photos that I did a green ham. We ended up curing it and then putting it on the smoker. And I have a couple cool photos where it was snowing the day we were smoking it. And it just kind of, the snow kind of like was like in front of the ham. And it just looked super cool because it's like, yeah, that's snow. That's not dirt on my lens or anything like that. That's snow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, you get out there and it's fun. You know, there's, you know, I kind of look at it as it's a really neat thing because, you know, a lot of people put their grills away, you know, a month ago when Labor Day hit, which I don't understand. But then, you know, there's some people that, you know, they don't get that opportunity. You know, that's one of the things, the winter grilling group I'm in. There's people all over the world and you see them, yeah, I made another winter without having to grill in the snow. You know, and then, you know, I'm up here going, yeah, I grilled in the snow, you know, four times this week.
Yeah. And it's not four times this winter.
No.
Four times this week. I don't think you quite understand it.
Absolutely.
Like, that's when you gotta love what you do. You know what I mean?
I do.
You love cooking.
Yep. Yeah, you asked me earlier how I kind of got started with all the grilling and everything. You know, I started cooking those pigs in North Carolina, but my grilling really didn't take off until I moved to Michigan. And one of those things, I used to commute hour and a half to work each day, each way, which left a little time to grill during the week. And now I live, you know, 10 to 15 minutes away from work. So I tend to, you know, I gain 3 hours of my life back, which gives you time to go, hey, I can grill tonight. And, you know, that's my goal right now is, you know, if I grill 5 nights a week, everything's good.
Yeah.
Gives me the opportunity to get out here and do it and cook for the family, try different things, you know, it's whatever. You see something online that looks interesting, you talking to people at work, you know, different styles of food, different cultures. And yeah, I'd like to try something. Let me see what I can do on the grill and try to adapt it to the grill and make it good.
So what would you say is your coolest fusion on the grill?
Oh, that's a tough question. Coolest fusion. You know, I don't know.
Or what were you most happy with when you were like, yeah, I definitely nailed it?
You know, I mentioned earlier my dad, when we were young, making barbecue chicken. Anytime I make barbecue chicken, I'm just like the happiest kid in the world. Little seasoning on it, some good barbecue sauce on it, and just, you know, caramelize just a little bit. I could sit down and eat three chickens. I won't. I used to, but I won't anymore.
I used to, but I don't. Not anymore.
Something about dying that you don't want to go towards.
Are you sure? It sounds so fantastic.
It is. But that's the one thing I cook. Anytime I cook it, just as a satisfaction. You know, I love cooking pigs. I love eating grilled chicken. I could do it every day. Just willing to try anything and do anything. You know, I've been doing a lot of smash burgers lately. I do those, you know, a couple times a month typically. Doing those on the grill works really well. Keeps your smoke alarm from going off in the house.
It does. I mean, and that's a... Some wives think that's a big plus.
Absolutely. And keeps all the grease splatter from out of the house, too, so that's really nice. Makes the dog like the rocks outside in the yard. And I got... It's all rock area around where my big green egg's at, and so my dog will come out and he'll, like, what are you eating? And he's chewing on rocks because they have grease splatter on them, so he's pretty happy.
It's funny how they'll just sit there and gnaw on those damn things, and you're just like, what are you doing?
It's like, rocks again. Give me those.
Like, oh. But lately, I
bought a wok recently and been doing some different things with the wok on the big green egg, and that's been pretty neat because you get those temperatures real hot. Just playing around with that and trying different stuff. Got a few friends that are Indian, and they keep asking me, when are you going to do Indian food? And so I keep almost getting to that, and haven't quite got into the Indian food yet, but trying to get there, play with little curry powders here and there, and see where we can go, but haven't quite got there where I think I need to be. I need to go eat some more Indian food to make sure what I'm doing. So that's the other side. It gives you a chance to experiment with all kinds of foods, and you know, you go someplace and you eat something and you go, you know, how can I make this? Or, you know, one of my favorite things to do is take an appetizer of whatever. You go somewhere and eat an appetizer and go, how can I make that into a pizza? And then, grill a pizza with whatever on it.
It's funny how we start to kind of go eat somewhere, and then it's, how do I make this on a cooker?
Absolutely. And I've decided.
And you're like, well, what can I do? And I actually just did, I was just at a dinner where it was a fantastic dinner, let me tell you. And the chefs made this beautiful, beautiful New Orleans dish. And I'm like, and he's like, basically what I did is I did this, and he like explained everything to us. And I want him to explain every dinner to me for the rest of my life.
Right.
I literally just want him to sit with me and just like, hey, what do you do? What does he do for you? His job is to walk around and tell me what I'm eating.
Yep.
What? Yeah, that's his job. Like, what do you mean? Absolutely. Just the way he described everything was like, it was so beautiful. He just, like, he loved every minute of describing it. And he just totally knew exactly what to say. And it was great. But he did this kind of like it was almost like a New Orleans chili. But it was grill. I'm going to butcher it. It's grill on. I think that's how you said it. But it's this fantastic just mix, you know, whatever. And then he allowed the meat. He just let it break down so, so nicely.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought it was, I was in love. I thought it was beautiful. And I immediately, my first reaction was, how do we cook this on a smoker? How do we let that meat either braise on a smoker? You know what I mean? Not braise, because it's not technically braising. I know. Don't kill me, all you chef people out there. Like, how do I incorporate a little more smoke flavor to it?
Yep.
How do I change it just a little bit and put my own spin on it?
Yep.
And he paired it with blue corn grits.
Perfect.
I don't like grits. I am not a grits person. Let me tell, like, I don't know what it is. I'm just not a huge fan of them.
Right.
I wanted to take a bath in the, like, I just wanted to fill a bathtub up and just sit there and eat these things.
And eat away.
They were so good. Mm. I've never had grits like this. And I walked up to him. And I'm like, I've never had grits like that. And he's like, thank you. He's like, he's like just so happy that I enjoyed these.
Absolutely. No, that's always a good thing. You know, I think some of the toughest critics I have of my food are in my house. And it's, you know, when they eat stuff and go, you know, that was really good. And, you know, I have my wife who's, you know, yeah, that's a pretty picture, but I don't think it tasted as good as it looks.
And, I mean, yeah. We've talked about that. We've talked about how many times, like, we've talked about that on the show before, how many times you get a fantastic photograph,
oh, yeah,
but maybe the food wasn't that good.
Yep. Well, the hard thing, too, is, yeah, I cook to my taste. I don't cook to hers, typically. And so it's a... And I do. I do alter things because I know things that she doesn't like. But I'm cooking mostly what's in my mind and what do I think tastes good. And so it is a different, it's a different perception. It's a different taste.
Yep. And it's crazy how everyone has their own little difference.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's I like this, though. But I, you know.
And that's why restaurants have menus and not just one item.
Exactly. You said it perfectly right there. Like, that's why restaurants are like, hey, bro, you don't have to get the same thing.
Nope.
What do you mean I don't have to get the same thing? You don't have to get the same thing. You can totally get something different.
Like, and then you go eat out. Then you go eat with your friends and 5 out of 10 of you get the same thing.
You know, it's funny. I think it's that mentality in your head where you're like, okay, I want, they said something, that sounds so good, I want to get it. Or it's the mentality of like going to the grocery store hungry.
Right.
Worst thing you can ever do in your life. Because the grocery store hungry is like, you might as well just go and just give them money. Just leave all the Absolutely. Food. Just give them stuff. I don't know how many times I've walked into a grocery store starving, walked in, walked out, and I was like, what did I buy? And why was it $200?
And you were still hungry.
Yeah.
Because none of it was good.
Exactly. And the other thing is, like, none of it's like shit that you even want. You're yep. like, oh, that looks so good. I'm going to make that. I'm totally going to make that.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, no, I'm not.
You know, I've been the last year and a half or so, last 2.5 years, so lost close to 100 pounds.
Good for you.
And I appreciate that. And, you know, health-wise, you got to start taking care of myself. And so I've gotten where, you know, I do a lot of grocery shopping. I go to the grocery store a lot. And my goal when I go there is, you know, I go with in mind that, hey, I'm going to do, I'm going to go buy a pork tenderloin today. And then as I'm walking around, I try to figure out what am I going to do with it. And let's find something different. Let's find something that I haven't tried before to go with it, or either season it with something different or have something different on the side. You know, that seems to be the struggle is what do you eat with whatever you cook on the grill? You have to have something else to go with it, and hopefully you can cook it on the grill as well.
Yeah. So, you
know, start looking at all the different vegetables and things, you know, reaching out to things that I've never had an interest in eating in the past, or may have had an interest but never did because, well, I can eat, you know, half of a pork shoulder today. Why do I need vegetables? So when you try to start eating a little better, you know, my goal since I went on this trip, this journey to lose all this weight is make sure whatever I eat is really good and it tastes good. And so, you know, I'm not going to be able to eat a lot of it, but I'm going to still cook and eat whatever I want. But let me make sure it's good. And, you know, what I used to eat for dinner, and I'll eat for dinner tonight, I'll eat for lunch tomorrow, and I might eat it for lunch the next day too. And that was the same meal I would have had all at one time before. So trying to spread that out and get all the, you know, what else can you add to it to you know, keep the calories down, to keep it healthy so that you can still have the good things that you want, you know, only have, you know, 4 ribs instead of a slab. It's pretty sad.
I mean, it is important.
But, absolutely. But what can I eat with it? That's the challenge. So now you have to make everything taste a lot better.
Absolutely. How do I make this? How do I elevate this? You know what I mean? That's a very important thing, because if you don't elevate it, then why?
Yep. It's kind of like the grits.
Yeah.
His grits weren't the star of the show, but they became part of the show, a big part of the show.
And they became almost like, yeah, they weren't supposed to be the star. You know, they were on the bottom. They were just a little bit as an not an afterthought. That sounds really bad, but like as a just to help, you know, elevate it a little bit. But they did. They became the star because they were so good.
Absolutely.
And not that everything else wasn't fantastic. It's just the grits.
Nope.
The grits were fantastic.
Well, that's where sometimes some of those things surprise you, and that makes it even better because you didn't expect it.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, this is fantastic. Didn't think that was going to be great.
Yep.
And I was almost like, I almost asked for like, I was going to be like, you know, I don't know if I want grits. You know what I mean? I almost asked for the no grits.
Yep.
And then they were, I like looked at some people I was with, and they were like, "You have to ask for grits." And I was like, "Okay."
Well, I'll say me and the family, we went to Memphis about a year and a half ago, and went to a restaurant there, ordered the ribs, ordered whatever with it, and that was the first night we were in Memphis, and ate at a barbecue place every day while we were there. And I go back to the best thing I ate that whole week that I was in Memphis was the green beans at that restaurant that day.
It's that shit that surprises you, and they're like, "You what? Yeah, I really liked it. What?
It's like,
yeah.
Can I take, you know, 3 gallons of those beans home with me? They were delicious. Or just
if you don't mind. I mean, it's fun. Yeah. You don't have to." Don't go out of your way, but if you could just, you know, wrap up all of it for me, that'd be great.
The ribs were good. I can make those at home, but those green beans are spectacular.
Right? It's like I can do the meat portion at home, but I really haven't nailed what you nailed, which is the grits, the green beans, and all the other fun stuff. So if you could just wrap up what you have in the restaurant, not just what's on my plate, but what you have in the restaurant.
Yep. Yep.
Send those home with me.
Absolutely.
That is fantastic. Now, as we're kind of wrapping up the podcast, I kind of want to ask this. We'll wrap it up with this question. If you could go back to when you first started cooking and give yourself three tips to make your life easier as a barbecue cook, what would they be?
Number one thing, and I think the thing that kind of turned me around on using a Weber grill or any other grill is I had a Weber cookbook for many, many years. And then one day I stopped and I opened up the front page and I read through that first section that talks about direct grilling, indirect grilling, those types of things. It's all simple. You just have to read it and pay attention. Starting there, and I was probably grilling pretty often, probably for 5 or 6 years before one day I sat down and looked at one of the cookbooks I had and said, wow, that makes sense. Well, that's how I don't burn all my food. I will say that was an eye opener for me, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, don't know how long ago it was, but that was an eye opener. A thermometer is your best friend.
Funny how question that works.
Question asked all the time is, time and temperature. I don't know. Depends what I'm cooking. One time you cook something at 300 degrees, the next time it's 450 because it depended on what else I was cooking at the same time. And it was finished when it reached temperature internally. And, that chicken that's, 160, 165 is perfect. That chicken that's 180 is dry.
And so unless say it's that, chicken wings.
Unless it's chicken wings.
There's something magical that. About chicken wings. Those fuckers can go to 205 and they're absolutely still juicy. And you're just like, how is this still juicy?
But yeah, so I'm going to say those are two top things. I'm trying to think a third thing. Just keeping it simple. And that's, try not to overdo it. I do use rubs, I use seasonings, I use sauces, but you don't have to. And, simple salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic. It's amazing what what pork tastes like when it's pork. It's amazing what chicken tastes like when it's just chicken. There's a reason everything tastes like chicken, because it's good. And same thing with pork, and beef, everything. These meats are good. You don't have to over-season it. You don't have to fill it full of all kinds of, whether it's injections or seasonings and sauces and whatever. It can be good just as it is. And, keeping it simple, keeping it easy is, my favorite thing in the world. People at work all the time asking me, well, what do you think? Just don't make it hard.
I think people make barbecue more difficult than it needs to be. I taught a barbecue 101 class, and this guy kept asking me different questions, and I'm like, just make it easier. Don't overcomplicate it, and look for good quality meat. That's so important.
Good, absolutely, quality meat, and start with the basics. And if you want to do something 15 times, and start with the basics, get it right.
Yep.
And then add to it later on. And then find out, one day I'm going to do this again the simple way and go, wow, that was really good. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should do that more often. And I'm saying that my wife will probably not be happy with me. She's like, you don't make anything that easy. But I think it's all pretty easy. I try to keep it simple. I try not to overcomplicate things.
He's like, well, you got, four different things on the cooker at once and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, that's because I'm teaching this class and I don't have four separate cookers.
Yep.
That I want everything on.
Yep.
Like, I have four separate cookers, don't get me wrong. Right. I just didn't want to fire them all up.
And absolutely.
That's not, that's not the best way to teach a class, is to say, okay, here you go. I'm going to cook this on this thing. I'm going to cook this on this thing. I'm not going to, I should say I don't have four identical cookers.
Right.
And that's your hardest thing. I wanted everything at the same temperature, same way, so that I could say, listen, we're all cooking at 250. I think we were cooking actually at 275, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it was just more or less of the fact it was just like, I really want to show you four cool things that you can do. So that A, you get your money's worth out of this class. B, you now have four things you can cook in your arsenal.
Absolutely.
If you fucking can't cook anything else, you got four things.
Yep.
And that's a lot more than somebody that's like, I cook the best damn chicken in the world. It's like, yeah, well, I can cook chicken and I can cook tri-tip and I sure as fucking cook pork tenderloin.
Absolutely.
And it's like, those are some of the meals that most people mess up. That's just the way I look at it.
All three of those get overcooked very easily and very quickly.
Yes. So if you can do them, all three of them at the same time, and show them that it's not the hardest thing in the world, because they all get pulled at different temperatures and they all get pulled at different times. So I was able to kind of balance it out where I could leave the tri-tip on a little bit longer because it was gonna take it a little bit longer to get to that temperature. Well, those pork tenderloins were ready to go. Pull them off, sear them really quickly, serve them out. Here you guys go. Enjoy. And everyone loved them.
Absolutely. And your tri-tip will be ready in about 10 minutes.
Exactly. And then it's not just like, oh God, we're all running around trying to figure out what we're doing. So I think it was a pretty cool class. And I want to say once again, Richard, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Guys, if you don't follow him, follow him on Instagram. He is pigs on BBQ, all one word. No underscores or hashtags anywhere in there. It's all one word. He takes some beautiful, beautiful photographs. And I kind of, if you give us a couple more minutes, if you're willing, sir, if you have a little bit more time, I'd love to talk a little bit about your photograph style. What did you kind of play with? Did you have kind of a photography background before you started taking pictures, or were you just one of those dudes that just fell into it naturally?
No, just kind of fell into it. You know, I took a picture one day and was like, wow, that's pretty neat. That looks good. It was some pork chops. And I posted it somewhere and got a lot of people making comments on it. And then I cooked a picanha steak one day. I don't know if you've ever done a picanha.
I have not. Tell me more.
So that's the rump cap.
Okay.
Beef. It's the Brazilian steak that's on the skewer.
Okay.
That's kind of rolled up. It's got the big thing of fat on it.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do it on skewers, but I sliced it, you know, inch and a half thick, and I grilled it, and at the end of it, it's got about a quarter inch fat cap on it, and I flipped that over on the grill, and the flames were hitting it, and the flames were coming all out. I took some pictures of that, and I was like, you know, that's like the most beautiful pictures I've ever taken, and I said, I'm going to use these for something one day, and Steve Raishland, the Barbecue Bible, had a barbecue contest, a photo contest.
And you used them.
And I was like, you know, I'm going to submit this, and I did. And I wasn't expecting to hear anything or see anything. And about 6 weeks later, I got an email that said, hey, you won best barbecue photo in America. I was like, oh, that's cool.
You're like, holy shit. Now, are you just taking them with your phone or are you taking them?
No, I've got the bottom of the line Canon DSLR camera. So it's, I don't know, 7-8 years old. And
that's okay.
So I'm taking them with the DSLR camera. Pretty neat. You know, it takes a little more to, now I got to get off the camera and get it onto a tablet so I can post them and do those kind of things. But it takes really good quality pictures. I love this time of year and, you know, during the summertime here, pictures are really nice because of the sunlight and back deck of my yard and the area I take my pictures in is kind of shaded some. So you get some good natural light that takes really good pictures.
Yep.
During the wintertime, it gets kind of hard because, you know, it's dark here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I was going to say, you gotta start using some artificial lighting when you want to cook dinner at 5, which is insanity to me sometimes.
Yep.
It's like, it's 5 o'clock.
Yep. And I've just got a little, clamp-on light with a LED bulb in it and throw it, it's hanging up under my canopy now and it's just thrown up there and I take the shots with it, and they look pretty good. I'm pretty happy with them, and messed around with some other lighting and stuff, trying to figure out how do I get pictures during the wintertime, because that is one of my favorite times to grill, as we talked about. But it's the worst time of year to take pictures of stuff, and so played with that over the years, and, you know, trying to figure out lighting and stuff. And what I've just figured out is a clamp-on light that's, you know, an LED, whatever, 60-watt bulb. And, hey, it's beautiful. It works out.
Hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You can elevate it, but don't fix it.
But I've learned a lot watching other people, you know, just what other people take pictures of, and, you know, haven't taken any classes or stuff. Read, you know, very little online, but just mostly watching, you know, looking at angles. How are people taking pictures? What do your plates look like? And, you know, how are you putting the food on the plate? And, you know, I talked about losing weight and trying to be healthier. You know, they talk about color is healthy. Color you got on your plate, the healthier it is for you. And so it also makes your pictures better. So
it does. It gives you pops of color.
Eating better and taking nicer pictures too. So that helps out. And so I think about that when I'm shopping too. You know, what can go with this? You know, everything's brown. What can I put on here that's green? What's red? You know, and so it helps vary my menu, and it helps me look at different things that I like talked about earlier. Just what else can I cook today? What's different, and what'll make this look nice? So it has become part of my thinking. And okay, how do I get there? So, you know, everything's not just accidental. You know, there is some thought to it, but it's typically what'll taste good and how can I cook it?
Yep.
How can I cook it on the grill? And so, and when I put it on the plate, will it look nice? When I put it on the grill, will it look nice? So it becomes part of that. You know, and it's, everybody's mad when it's time to eat, and I go, well, I got to go take one more picture.
Yeah, the wife even tonight was like, can we eat? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, we're going to eat. And she's like, yeah, can you finish? I'm like, yeah, I'll finish. Give me a second.
Like, all right, y'all go ahead and get started. And I've with my new little setup I've got outside with my canopy, I like the pictures outside much better than inside the house. And so it's like, yeah, y'all start eating. I'm going to go take a couple pictures real quick and step outside and, you know, take a burst of 10 pictures, and hopefully one of them looks good.
Yeah.
And then off.
And you take a couple photos, you look at them, you're like, cool, I got the shot. You only need one or two.
Absolutely.
You know
it's neat. It's kind of spurred, you know, my youngest son, he's 17, and a couple years ago he started taking pictures of, he collects Marvel figures and takes pictures of those guys.
Oh, awesome.
And now he takes at least every day, and he posts a picture every day on his site. And he was using his phone, and one day I said, here's this deal with our camera. Take it with this. And he was like, I don't need that. And he took some pictures, like, wow, that's really nice. And so that is something that has spurred him on that, you know, he's looking at, what do I do with my life after high school?
Yeah.
And look at photography and getting pretty deep into it. So he's actually taught me things that I didn't know. And he's like, you know, if you do this a little differently, here's what the setting on this camera does.
That's awesome.
But, you know, generally I'm auto, and auto with no flash, take a picture.
Yeah.
It'll adjust. It'll be all right. If it's not, you know, there'll be 1 out of 100 that looks all right. Let's go.
That's fantastic. And, I want to say thank you so much for, coming on the podcast, hanging out with us, and chatting barbecue with us. If you can do me one last favor, tell everyone where they can follow your journey on the internet. Obviously, I know we've talked about it, but it's best coming from you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate this. Love your podcast. Love listening to it. And appreciate you inviting me on. You can find me on Instagram at pigsonbbq. Or you can follow me on Facebook on Pigs On with an apostrophe S, O-N, exclamation point, barbecue on Facebook. Can find me there. On Twitter, too. I think that's at Pigs On Barbecue as well, just like the Instagram one. But don't do a lot on Twitter, but get on there every now and then. But love sharing the passion. You know, encourage everybody, be passionate about something, find something, and be passionate about it, and move forward with it. Have fun.
Well, fantastic. I want to say thank you so much. And we look forward to chatting again.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much again. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.